we got to the end of my session and she's sobbing and she's basically yelling, buy her book! It was like the first thing you said.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we ask the question, what is ancestral trauma and is it really possible to heal it? Bean, you ready?
I want to be healed.
Hey, Signal listeners, before we get into this week's episode, I have something personal to share that I wanted to take a minute and just talk to you about. For those of you that have been listening to our podcast, you know that I have written a book, and I am so, so, so excited to share that this book is finally available for pre-sale on Amazon and Target.com and several other places. My book is called Higher Self, Reclaiming the Power of Your Intuition. And it is all of my coaching methodology, but also very much a personal memoir about my own life and how I realized that I had the intuitive gifts that I had and all of the highs and lows that I've navigated that have really allowed me to create the method that's been so life-changing for so many people. And this has been truly a labor of love for the past 2 years, and the book is finally, finally available for pre-order. If you can take just a minute and visit any of the links that we are going to put in the show notes to put in your pre-order, it helps this book so much when it finally comes out in March. It makes the publishers feel so good about how much people want to hear this message, which allows us to print even more copies and distributors to be even more excited to carry the book. So truly, your pre-orders make all the difference. Again, those links will be in the show notes. And thank you so much for your support. On with the show. What's up, Bean?
Hi. I feel like we say it every episode, but we're having a lot of tech difficulties, including this beam of light that is shining down on me as though I am some angelic being.
One of Melissa's ancestors is in the room because there is a beam of light coming from the very top of the ceiling down onto your head, and we can't figure out how to get rid of it. I don't think blocking it with your hands is going to be a sustainable solution.
I'm going to do the whole episode like this. You should turn it into our YouTube to see what I'm doing.
Oh my God. Can we do a drinking game where every time you mention our YouTube, people get to take a shot at least?
I just want to know the secret sauce for YouTube. All right.
Bean, tell me about your week. Anything cringy, delightful?
Okay, I'll tell you. Just piggybacking on whatever our last week's episode was, where we knew I was going to be at this fabulous retreat where you did a workshop. And I was at this fabulous retreat, and that is my dog barking in the background.
We hear her.
And while I was there, it was a little hard, I think, for me to process all of the information as it was all coming to me. But I have to say, being home after it, I definitely am extraordinarily even keeled. Like, extremely. I'm very calm. I'm very overly communicative. Not in a bad way, in a very like, these are my feelings way.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been very interesting. I'm definitely still riding it. I can meditate way easier than I've been able to in a long time.
There's something about the collective energy of when everyone is focused on doing the same work that really has a potency to it that really sticks with you when you leave.
How long do I get to feel this goodness?
Different for different people, but the more that you implement the stuff that you learned, the longer you can drag it out. What was your greatest takeaway from the retreat, would you say?
Oh my gosh, that's a really challenging question. I mean, I really think it was just believing. I struggle a lot with all of this spirituality, as I discuss a lot. Which is funny because I do a spiritual podcast. So it's really comical that I go in and out of believing, but I feel like the power in this room, and there were a couple experiences that happened that just felt so potent and undeniable that it was like, what is there? It kind of gave me that, like, I want more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I absolutely.
Taste it again, every time I have one of these experiences, I'm like, re-believe. And then I want more to validate these feelings.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if you're on your spiritual journey or just self-growth, self-awakening, empowerment journey, a retreat is a really great thing to try.
Yeah.
Because it does get you out of your comfort zone. And I think that when we're out of our comfort zones, we actually learn deeper. It's like we get forced into embodying things that are uncomfortable, and then we cellularly understand it. So I would highly recommend, actually, we have one. So Jennifer Fried, who's been on, the amazing astrologer and author, is the one who put this retreat on that I taught at. And Jennifer and I and Prune Harris, who's also been on, she's an amazing energy healer, are doing a retreat in Crete in October of 2025. Oh, so we can put the link to that in the show notes too. But honestly, this isn't really about my retreat. It's just find something that feels connected to what you're trying to work on. There's retreats for all kinds of things.
Yeah, totally.
Find something and try it. I think collective healing is really powerful.
Yeah, even though I feel like when I was there, I felt like a lot of my I do better introspection when I'm alone. But I think that this opened my, it almost like enhanced my openness. So now I can be more introspective on my own because I feel more open.
I love that. I knew this was going to be a delayed reaction for you. You were sitting in that room looking at me like, what in the
F? Not all the time. There were certain moments where I was like, what in the F? But thank you, Jen Fried. It was still really amazing. But I knew it was going to take some time. And then when I came home, I was physically exhausted for like days. Physically, which was wild. What about you? I never asked you what your favorite part was.
Of the retreat?
Yeah. Feels tricky yeah, when you put on the spot.
I'll tell you, it's the community. It's like I've seen these women at these retreats several times now, and just getting to watch the changes in each person the first time I've met them to now, and the way that they really take in the lessons, and they go home and they work on them, and they come back more aligned to their higher self, more expressive, more empowered, more dignified. It was really lovely to see that happen for these women I care about so much.
Oh, I would like to add something. What? One of my other favorite parts was I've never witnessed you in real time doing a workshop.
Right.
I know about them. I've seen the behind the scenes. I've seen the workups. I've seen the effort you put into it, but I've never seen you do it. And I teared up like almost the entire time watching you perform and watching everybody just being so enchanted by you. And then afterwards, Jen Fried, as you just mentioned, makes everyone go around and say something positive about the instructors. And then I just started crying as everybody was like telling you how wonderful you are. I'm like, yes, you all see it. Yes. And I'm crying.
My highlight is that Melissa had not said a word up until that point. Like we had had two other sessions, a full day before that together as a group. She hadn't said anything. And then we got to the end of my session and she's sobbing and she's basically yelling, buy her book. It was like the first thing you said.
I was like a mute for 3 days straight. The first time I opened my mouth, I said, buy her book while I'm crying.
Oh, wow. It's so good.
It's really good.
Good.
Anyway, let's do this, man.
You don't want to hear anything about my week or anything.
Oh my God. No, I said, I asked you what your favorite part of the thing was.
That's not my cringe or delight. I have a different cringe.
Oh, please.
Or delight. That was delightful. My cringe is that this is going to sound so whiny and bratty. So I'm really hoping that all of you can just hold space for my whininess. But I found out this week that I don't get to read my own audiobook. And it really was cringy because, first of all, I had to submit an audition. I had to submit a video or an audio file of myself reading part of the book. And the producers on the publisher side were like, nope, we're going to go with someone else. And not only did it hurt my ego, but I also felt really sad that I didn't get to read my own book because I'm like, who else is going to be able to articulate this? Guess what? News is professional Somebody readers. Else. Professional Somebody readers else. Can not articulate you. It. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So
sorry, Bean.
That was, yeah. So I had to pick some other person to read my book.
At least you got to pick the other person.
I did. They were really lovely about giving me like 8 choices. And I picked someone who I felt could really do it justice. But with a huge caveat of there's a bunch of Persian names in here. I really want to make sure the pronunciation is right. And, you know.
I saw that in the email. And I like that you said that correctly.
Thank you.
You insisted.
Thank you. So thank that's you. My cringe was that I got rejected from reading my own book. But well, you know,
you can read it to me.
Such is life. I'll read it to you. Mine. That's a good idea. Thank you.
It would be fun. As like and,
a little bedtime story. I'll call you when it's your bedtime and I'll read to you.
It will be comforting and I'll enjoy it. Thank you.
Okay, good. All right. So should we talk about ancestral trauma now that
we have should
talked and about my current trauma?
Sometimes I like to research stuff that we're going to talk about. And then sometimes I really don't because I really like to real time learn about it. So for this one, this was like, I started and I was like, no, get away. She's going to blow your mind.
Yeah. I think you're going to learn a lot. I hope you listeners also learn a lot. And the reason we wanted to do this episode is because as we are on our growth and healing journeys, one thing I really like to make sure people understand is that you're not only dealing with your own trauma and your own limiting belief systems, you also have working for you and also creating some challenges for you, your ancestors' experiences and belief systems that are really handed down to you. And actually, today we're going to talk about quite scientifically so.
Oh.
It is proven that this happens. I know you like some science.
I do. So that actually makes me feel a little better. Because even when you just said that, I'm like, am I really dealing with their shit? I've got enough
of that. You really are. So we want to make sure that we're illuminating what this is so that as each of you are working through what feels limiting to you, you also can consider how your ancestors may have added to that story. And we're going to have some tips for how to work through that as you're trying to break through that cement and become your higher self.
Okay.
You like?
Let's chisel away. You like?
All right. So should we define what it is to start for anyone who is curious before we dive in? So ancestral healing is really this practice of identifying and understanding and then eventually hopefully healing any emotional, mental, or spiritual patterns that have been passed down through generations. And the concept is really rooted in this belief that trauma and fear results in belief systems and behaviors from our ancestors that we unconsciously inherit. And in inheriting those things, we then have higher levels of anxiety about certain things that haven't happened in our own lives, but can be explained by looking at what's happened in our ancestors' lives and the way that those belief systems have caused us to be vigilant or on high alert without having experienced those traumas ourselves.
For clarification for myself, this is separate from like there. So let's just say my grandparents behaved in a certain way, which then caused my parents to inherit that type of behavior.
Good question.
Then they parented me in the same way. And then we're all, it's separate. You're saying it lives like within us. It's not a
it's a great question. It is not separate. It is two sides of the same coin. So we are who we are because of our nature and our nurture.
Yes.
And what ancestral trauma and healing explores is how is who we are and the way we react to certain stimulus and the stressors in our lives, both connected to the nurture part of us, which to answer your question is the way that our parents behave towards us and raised us, and therefore we can carry some of those behaviors forward.
Right.
That's the nurture part. So that's one side of ancestral trauma, is how our parents show up and teach us to behave. The other side of that coin is the nature part, which is how is it also in our genetics? There's a study called epigenetics, which we'll talk about, and the markers on our genes that this trauma has created that actually comes through in our nature. So ancestral trauma is actually a nature-nurture melding of the two things.
I can get behind that.
You got it?
I got it, and I support that.
You like it, and you support it. All right, cool. Well, where should we start, you think, Bean? This is a juicy topic.
Well, I like the ancestral healing definition. You've actually talked about ancestral healing, I feel like, in other episodes. And I just am always like, yeah, ancestral healing. But I don't really know.
Sure.
Yeah, thumbs up. But I don't know why you've mentioned it so much. Are you hot for this?
I am hot for this. I think as an intuitive coach, I find that when I'm tapping in with people to their limiting belief systems, so much of it comes from what's been handed down to them. And that when we can identify it and we see it, It's so unlocking for people because one, it helps them put a finer point on why they feel the way they feel. And sometimes when you understand why, you can deal with it better. Two, it also, I think, gives us some grace for ourselves. You know, we're up against not only our own past trauma, but the trauma that's been handed down for hundreds of years.
That's really unfair.
Yeah. That's not fair. Can we have some grace for everything that we are dealing with rather than, I think we're hard on ourselves. Like, oh, why am I so anxious? Or why do I react this way to issues with money? Well, you know what? Maybe it's because there's been poverty in your bloodline for 100 years. And that's something that's in your genetics. Can you have grace?
Can you give me an example of like a recent client that without giving too much information of some specific example of ancestral healing that was brought up in a session that allowed for clarity?
I will say that I see two communities where it comes up similarly repeatedly. I think clients of mine that are Jewish, and let's see if you agree or not, there is a deep rooted anxiety that is passed down from generation to generation. And, you know, actually, we're going to talk about a study that was done on Holocaust survivors and the people who come after them.
Right.
And so, you know, going through a traumatic event as an entire group of people has really manifested, I think, when I look at my clients, in a increased level of anxiety that I think a lot of my clients feel is inexplicable. I don't know. Do you agree, Bean? You're Jewish. Your family's Jewish.
I mean, chronic. And then it's tied to our stomachs. And we all have stomach issues that is very connected to our anxiety levels. But now I'm starting to wonder and curious if we were not an anxious people prior to the Holocaust, which really wasn't that long ago. Like, were we all super chill walking around? Like, I'm laid back. And then now we're all these anxious, uptight, you know.
It's actually not just the Holocaust. The Jewish community has been ostracized and persecuted for thousands of years. The other community that I see this show up in that, you know, really just makes sense is in any African-American people or clients that I work with is this, you know, systemic oppression that, by the way, still exists. So there's that.
Obviously.
But also then the impacts of slavery on Black people in the United States, not only financially, which, you know, set this community back significantly from white people, but also the emotional, the epigenetic emotional reaction that a lot of African Americans can hold based on what their ancestors, the indignity that their ancestors suffered. And one of the things that shows up in studies is a continued lack of trust in the medical field in the United States because Black bodies were used as experimentation, because Black bodies were not respected enough to be truly diagnosed and believed over the last hundreds of years in this country. And so what's passed on is this, to some, inexplicable sense of not trusting the medical system, but actually it's a ancestral trauma that is really trying to protect people by saying, this is dangerous.
And truthfully, it is still, it still goes on.
It still exists. And it still exists. So then the evidence is there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that's why I bring this up so much, because it's real. It's a real thing that we need to also consider when we're thinking about what we're trying to work through so that we can become more whole as individuals.
Can you give me some of that science?
Are you ready for the science?
I'm always hungry for the science because it always solidifies things for me, even though I believe what you're saying anyway.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So in the scientific world, this is being researched as transgenerational trauma. That's the term. And sometimes it's called intergenerational trauma. And it basically just refers to the transmission of traumatic experiences from one generation to the next. Now, the scientific part comes when we start to study genetics. So epigenetics is the study of changes in gene expression that are not caused by changes in the DNA sequence itself, but by factors in the environment. Does that make sense? So the DNA, the genes are shifting and changing based on factors in the environment that include things like stress and trauma. That's what epigenetics is studying. Yes. And so what researchers have found in epigenetics is that traumatic experiences can leave a literal genetic mark an indentation on a gene expression that then potentially influences the stress response and emotional patterns of its descendants. So, you know, your ancestor has a traumatic experience that leaves a literal indentation on that gene. That gene is passed down, and that stress response is also then passed down to the ancestor's descendants.
I mean, it's like any other gene. It's like a cancer gene in your family. It's totally. All being passed down. That's horrible.
Yes, exactly. So there's a couple studies that are interesting. One I mentioned is with Holocaust survivors. It's one of the most famous studies on transgenerational trauma. And basically, it examined the children of Holocaust survivors. And researchers found that children of survivors showed higher rates of anxiety, depression, and PTSD symptoms, even though they did not experience the Holocaust themselves.
Wow.
Than others.
Wow.
And the studies by a woman named Rachel Yehuda, it was done in 2015. She also did a similar study on 9/11.
Oh, wow.
So I'll talk about that in a minute. But her team basically showed changes in the genes related to stress regulation. If you want to get really scientific, it's called the FKBP5 gene. So this gene.
I know it well.
Yeah, you should. You probably do. You just don't know the name.
Yeah, right.
This gene is related to stress regulation in our systems. And so what they found in the study is that among both Holocaust survivors and their children, this gene had a change in it. And it suggested that trauma influenced the gene expression in the parents and therefore influenced the gene expression in the children, which I think is such a clear explanation for what I said up top when you said, give me an example. Like when you meet a Jewish person who is...
you were like Jews and then you stopped yourself. Yeah. I saw your face.
When you know, with you, I think this comes up a lot, Bean, where I'm like, you are like inordinately anxious about something that
of course,
in my quote unquote rational mind, but now if we look at it, I don't have that gene expression.
Right.
So without that gene expression, I'm looking at the same situation with a lot far less anxiety. And I just thought, wow, like, I love that they studied this because how clear a
path. Now you understand me.
Correct.
Now you're like, she's not just crazy. It's ancestral.
Yeah, totally. And I mentioned that this Rachel Yehuda did the same thing. So she did another study with her team on pregnant women who were in or near the World Trade Center during the 9/11 attacks.
Yeah.
And their children were found to have lower cortisol levels than other children, which is commonly lower cortisol levels are associated with PTSD.
Oh.
So what it indicates is that a mother's traumatic experience during pregnancy,
of course,
deeply impacts the stress response of their children, potentially priming them to be more sensitive to stress in future situations.
Yeah, I feel like I've already known that generally and how important it is to try to remain calm while you're pregnant, even in normal life, dealing with normal things. So I can't imagine when you're faced with something like 9/11 while you're pregnant.
So think about when you're working on healing something. Like for me, it's been this sense of impending disappointment. That's something I really struggle with, right?
Yes.
And when I first started to do this work with therapists, with my mentor around the spiritual aspect of it, I kept saying, I've never really been that disappointed in my life, right? Like things were hard, but I never had the rug pulled out from under me, thank God, mashallah. And started to do this work. I do this work called EPT with this really amazing healer named Kristen. Like a tapping EPT.
Yeah,
it's like it's a tapping mechanism where you go back and you look at what's going on in your psyche. And then there's tapping that happens. And it's like a magnetic field that they use. Anyway, I'm not going to do it any justice, but I've done work with Kristen.
Can she come on? What is this? I need to know more.
Point.
I need to understand this, please.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to reach out to her. That's a really great point. Anyway, one of the things that we found with her and other work that I've done is that I have taken in so much in utero around disappointment because my mother faced so much disappointment during the time of her pregnancy in being countries away from her family, not speaking the language. And then, you know, finding out that my father wasn't being faithful through all of this.
That was while she was pregnant with you?
Yeah.
Aww.
I'm in the womb experiencing this. So I think that you, like, also personally, I'm interested in it because I've really noticed that working on it and healing that has really lowered that stress response to potential disappointment in me. Cause I realized, oh, it's not mine. That's not my story. That if you take anything else away, nothing else away from this episode, it's that when you realize it's not your story,
right?
When you realize this is someone else's story inside you, it's so much easier to unlock and separate yourself from the story.
I didn't realize that you actually do feel improved in that area. And I'm really thrilled to hear it. Wait, well, can I ask, can I interject?
Yeah.
There's a psychic here that I've seen a couple times, and I know that she has somebody who comes in and does these, I don't want to call them events. It seems like it's simplifying it, where you come in and she will work, and it's basically ancestral healing, and she will heal. The work that she claims to do is she will heal you so that your ancestors are healed. And then the generations after you who are alive, like my own children, can also be healed.
Yeah. The thinking there is that you are the link. And so because we are all energetically connected, our ancestors are still a part of our energy. We are the result of our ancestors' dreams and sacrifices.
Right. It's beautiful.
No pressure, but make it count. Because they sacrificed and they dreamed so that you could exist in the place that you're in right now.
Right.
And they're really proud of that. Really proud.
Thank you.
So the idea is that because we're energetically connected to them that way, and then we're energetically connected to the future generation.
Of course.
We are the link in between. And so when that healing happens within us, that healing reverberates in both directions, forward and backward. And so we're able to then release them from that story, from that pain, from that trauma energetically, so that their souls, which are either off to other adventures or are now spirit guides on the other side, are able to be free of that trauma.
Then does that change like the course of, if I heal the people after me, does that change the course of their lives and like their soul's purpose and...
Absolutely. Because think about how much more empowered and freer you are to live your purpose if you're not carrying this old story and trauma with you as well.
I think we should start like a Patreon and raise money so that we can see all of these different healers and explain what has happened afterwards. You know how like you...
I love that idea.
I always want to like try all these different healers and see what works and what doesn't, but they're not cheap. But no, like I kind of want to feel... what each one feels like and see how what I take away from it.
That's a really good idea. Okay, that we're going to put that on our 2025 wish list, a Patreon to fund our, we will go explore for you and then we will come back and report and we'll give you the best healers that we ever find. I love that idea.
And wouldn't it be nice if you could access like a list online of like this type of healer is good for this type of trauma or something in that way. It's like a vetting what these types of healers are.
I'm so down to be the guinea pig.
Me too. 100%.
Love it. Okay. Just a couple more studies for you because I know you really want the science. And then I really want to make sure we spend a little bit of time on what to do with this information for yourself.
Please.
So there's another study called the Children of War Survivors. This was research on children of Cambodian genocide survivors. Jesus and also descendants of Native American communities affected by the historical trauma that's happened in the United States, like forced displacement and violence. And what it shows is that these descendants often suffer from higher rates of mental health disorder.
Don't Native Americans struggle with alcoholism and suicide, and which is a complete ancestral trauma.
Ancestral trauma, and I want to do justice to, and also not receiving equity and care in the suffering. Current time either. Yeah. Correct. So basically the studies are indicating that even when the trauma isn't discussed directly, descendants can internalize feelings of fear, anger, grief from their parents, grandparents, and then that impacts their own mental health.
I wonder, I have this thing about, I feel like I keep going off on tangents, but I have this like unusual obsession. I think actually a lot of Jews have this issue with my children, like not eating enough. Like I'm constantly you're not going to eat enough. Do other people, I don't know if other people do that or that's like a Jew thing. Like if my kids don't have breakfast, even though sometimes my middle schooler's not hungry at 6:30 in the morning, which I get. I'm like, what's going to happen? Like, she's not fed. She can't function. And I get like uneasy. Totally. I tense up about it. I wonder if that's Holocaust trauma.
Absolutely. Because starvation was such a reality during the Holocaust. Absolutely. I think that you're not alone. I bet you others who are Jewish who hear that might really relate to what you're saying. And then finally, I think I've mentioned this before, but they've also done this study, sadly, on lab rats. Where
sadness in this episode.
I know. I'm sorry. We'll lighten it up here at the end. They've studied mice and rats where they show that, you know, they will do a stressor to one generation, you know, whether they prod them with something or whatever it might be.
So mean.
And then they will find that in generations after, those mice have a higher stress response, the ones that were the descendants of the rats or the mice that were harmed in some way.
How far down have they tested? Like, I'm curious if they did like great grandkids, see how far down it can go.
Question. I don't know how many it says across multiple generations. So I'm assuming we're talking grand mice.
Great grand mice.
Grand mice. Yeah. So, you know, again, I think that it's really important to understand that when you hear the term ancestral trauma, this is an epigenetic, this is a genetic thing that happens when there's been trauma that happens. And then technically what they're starting to do is try to understand where in the DNA the changes are taking place. And so they basically are finding that trauma can lead to changes in DNA methylation. So this is where chemical groups attach to DNA and they alter the gene expression without changing the actual genetic code. Isn't that wild?
Our bodies are wild.
Wild.
Like insane what happens in there.
And then to the question you, the question you asked, you know, researchers talk about behavioral transmission as well. So not just genetic transmission, but that trauma can be transmitted through behaviors and emotional patterns of our parents. You know, parents, for example, who experience trauma might have a hard time regulating their emotions, and then their children will have a hard time regulating their emotions. So there's a behavioral element. That's why I said this is a nature and nurture thing combined.
All right. So now what do we do?
How do
I save my children? Save the children.
All right. So listen, there's a lot of, I'm going to say the boring thing I say every time, which is awareness is everything. Okay. Understanding that when you are dealing with a reoccurring belief system that feels really limiting to you, to also try and explore where this belief system may have been handed down ancestrally is really important. So one of the things that I ask my clients to do is to do a little bit of like a family constellation. You know, I have this belief system. Where did this belief system exist in mom and dad? Where can I find out? Ask questions. What were the experiences of their parents? What were the experiences of their grandparents? Start to feel like you're a little bit of an investigative journalist around this belief system and really scaffold for yourself a vision of how this may have been passed down to you so that you are then holding these ancestors in your energy field, really thinking about them as you're healing what you're healing and recognizing that this work, this hard work you're doing of being aware of your own limiting beliefs and your trauma is so impactful for them as well. You're doing it on behalf of them. And that awareness of them really helps you to understand yourself better, but also feel more purposeful in your healing journey, because it's about much greater than just you. It's about your bloodline. Aww. It's about your family and what you can heal for them when you do this really hard work on you.
I really love that. I did just call my mom yesterday because I knew we were going to be talking about this, and I was struggling with coming up with an example of my own life. And we started talking about the Holocaust, and I started asking her questions about her grandparents and where they were and how it came to be. And it was actually, even if you're not working on ancestral healing, it's just fascinating stories to understand, better understand your parents' lives and your grandparents' lives.
Totally. I also, this other thing I love to do, you can do it or not, is, you know, lots of people set up altars to their ancestors. Aww. Actually, Dia de los Muertos, where everyone likes to appropriate and dress up in skeletons, is actually a really beautiful honoring of our loved ones that have passed.
Have you seen Coco?
Yes.
Disney or Pixar?
Yes, exactly. So that's a really good example of like setting up altars to ancestors who have passed in reverence and appreciation for who they were and how they've contributed to who we are. I have a little altar to my grandmother, Aziz June, who I talk about a lot and who's in my book. And she, I really believe I am the result of her dreaming.
That's really beautiful. I feel like we're that's being lost a lot in these generations, including ours. Like, I don't feel like we have enough reverence for everything that people have gone through before us and our families before us, especially so recently in terms of Holocaust and immigrating to America. And I mean, so many things.
Yeah.
We're just like, our kids don't know anything about it.
I think there's something to be said for reverence. I think there's so many Native American cultures and African cultures where ancestors are deeply revered and always seen as being part of the current environment as well. It's not like they're gone and forgotten, but they're seen as spirit guides. They're seen as being in your collective still, and they're thought about, they're brought to life through different rituals and ways of really keeping them with us. And I really think that reverence is so important because it allows you again to see yourself as one part of a much bigger picture and how important that is to you and to your descendants.
Totally. I think even if you take nothing away from this and you are not getting behind healing your stuff of your past, even just thinking about things that have been passed down to you genetically, like what you scientifically explained.
Yeah.
And how that impacts your daily life from something from 2-3 generations ago is still pretty monumental.
Yeah, totally. And then, you know, there are healers. There are energetic healers. EPT is a great, it's called emotional polarity technique. And I will find Kristen's info and we'll put that in the show notes too.
Oh, cool.
But she's been life-changing in terms of this ancestral healing for me.
Oh,
but
wow.
Finding the right kind of people to process this with, heal through, there's rituals you can do, there's journaling, there's gratitude, there's so much you can do to both honor and release these stories so that you can release yourself and really have that healing reverberate backward like we talked about. My kids are right outside the door. Do you hear them?
No.
What are they about playing? Descendants.
What are they? Why are they home?
They're off today and they're running around with the dog really loudly. It's nice to hear them happy.
It's your descendants. So bring them joy.
Exactly. So Bean, you know what this means.
What does it mean? It's time for
Melissa's famous takeaways. Bean.
Cue the music. My takeaway, I think I just said it. I'm just going to reiterate it, is that this, you are not yourself. You never are. This is even from the top of the show talking about the retreat and the impact it had is that there is community. There is community in your neighborhood. There is community in your religious environment. There is community in your history. And we are all impacting one another and we should always be mindful of that.
Beautiful. Very well said. Guys, I hope that this episode was helpful in your journey, just like every episode. And if it was, please help support the show by sharing this with your friends and family. And we'll be back again next week with another new episode of Signal. See you then. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.